Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is today's message.
Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. Again, that's Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. Now, we're going to hold right there because I want to give you an overview of Philippians. Before I do that, I want to share a quick story with you. So there's this guy named Jason Brown. Jason Brown was a former NFL player, used to play for the St. Louis Rams. When he signed a contract, he had signed a $37 million contract, making him one of the highest paid centers some years ago. 2 years of playing in the St. Louis Rams, the coach came to him and said, "You'll no longer be the starting center this year." He felt like, I didn't know James was a Christian, but he said in this article that I read that he felt like God told him that your identity won't be wrapped up in football. After the season, Jason Brown decided that he was going to leave playing NFL to become a farmer. Felt like that's what God was leading him. His agent came to him and said, "Dude, you're making the worst decision of your life and you're going to live to regret it. $37 million and you about to leave all of this to become a farmer? Do you know anything about farming?" He was like, "Nope." You know how he started learning how to farm? YouTube. And he said this, "I was sure this is where Christ was leading me, and I could not go all in being an NFL player." He left being an NFL to become a farmer, and his ministry, it's called The First Fruits, has blessed a whole lot of people. One of the things I love about this story is that, as you can tell, Jason Brown decided to go all in for Christ. And so I want to talk to you today about Christ, all or nothing. Christ, all or nothing. Now, as we see here in Philippians chapter 3, again, whole verse 10 through 13, we're going to get there, but I just want to give you an overview so you can understand what Paul says in verses 10 through 13. So he goes in, he's telling the Philippians, he's telling these Gentile believers who came to Christ, he's saying, "Listen, I want to keep reminding you to safeguard your faith, because there's some people, after I get done preaching and teaching, there's some people who's coming back behind me and telling you that in order for you to be saved, you got to be circumcised." He said, "But we who worship in the Spirit of Christ are already truly circumcised. It's not about works anymore. It's grace by faith. That's what comes, and that's what gives us salvation." So then he says this. He said, "Now they're boasting in their effort. They're confident in their works." And he's like, "You know what? I get them. I get that they're confident. I too was confident in my works." So Paul goes and he goes and lists all his accolades. He said, "Hold on, let's get this straight. I was circumcised on the eighth day. My family was godly, was wise enough to obey the law that God gave Abraham, that every male that comes to your family line must be circumcised." He said, "Not only that, but I am a pure-blooded Israelite." That means that I am a God's chosen people. Then he goes in to say that I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I can trace my lineage all the way back into the Old Testament. So I ain't just some fly-by-night guy. Next thing you know, he said that I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Like, this is my native tongue. I speak Hebrew and Aramaic. Like, I have not changed. I'm not mixed with anything. I am full-blooded Hebrew. Then he goes on to say, I'm a Pharisee. Pharisee means separated one. It means that they demanded the strictest obedience to the law. They knew the word back and forth. And when the culture was changing the New Testament, when Rome started taking over and people started speaking Greek, he said, "Listen, I became a Pharisee because I didn't want our culture to change. Not only that, but I am a law keeper. I obey the law to a T without fault. I am blameless and I am righteous because I'm doing everything that God requires of me." Then he goes and says that I was zealous. I persecuted the church. Because they're going around talking about some, "Yeah, just believe in Jesus Christ by faith and you can be saved." And now all this work that I'm doing, I knew that this religion had to be false. So I was persecuting the church. I was going to take people, and if it meant killing them, if it meant bringing them to jail, by any means necessary, I was going to destroy this Christianity. I got all these accolades. Paul had status, influence, money, power. Paul was born in the city of Tarsus, right outside of Rome. The city of Tarsus was a wealthy city. His family had wealth. Paul had it all. He had a great life. But then we see here in verses 7 through 9, Paul said, you know what? I once thought these things were valuable to me. I was working hard. I did everything that I was supposed to be accepted by God. I knew I was righteous. If anybody was going to heaven, it was me because of what I've done. So Paul was looking at everything like, I got all this stuff. But he said, I gave it up for the sake of Christ. All this stuff, I gave it up for the sake of Christ to go all in for Christ. It's Christ all or nothing. It's not Christ and I still got this. It's not Christ and I still got that. It's Christ all or nothing. And Paul said, you know what? I asked a question. I'm reading this and I said, what will make a man give up what he has for something else? It wasn't like he was struggling. It wasn't like he was going through. It wasn't like he was in a bad relationship. It wasn't like he was just got fired from a job. He had a good life. What would make a man give up what he has for something else? He understood this principle. When you find something greater than what you have, you give up everything for it. In Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure that's found in a field. A man stumbled upon it, and he realized the value of it. He hid it and went to go sell everything he had to go buy the field. When you find something greater than what you have, you will gladly give up everything for it. And Paul saw Christ. He said, man, I've been working all my life. I've been doing all this good stuff, and me seeing Christ and what Christ has done for me, I will give all this up for Christ. Because of his suffering, his sacrifice, everything that he did for me is worth it. When you find something greater than what you have, you're going to give everything up for it. I gave up being single because I saw being married was greater than being single. My singlehood, I was with the boys, kicking and doing everything, but I said, you know what? I want to get married. It's something about being married that's greater than being single, and I gave up that whole life just so I can pursue my boo. When you find something greater than what you have, you're going to give up everything for it. And Paul saw that. So that's what leads us to verse 10 through 13. Now y'all can go to verse 10 through 13. He said, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Thank God. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. It's Christ all or nothing. So I'm going to ask you, what have you given up for Christ? Have you really just cashed in all your chips that God is you and that's it? Have you really cut ties with your former life? Or are you still holding on to the things, to the longing for the good old days? It's Christ all or nothing. And so I want to help you find out how to become all in for Christ. Four ways to be all in for Christ. The first one, Paul said, you got to see everything outside of Christ as garbage. You know, I've been hearing for years that they say, you know, Christ is more than enough. He's everything that you need. I've been hearing this for years. And I've just come to realize a few years ago, man, no, he really is everything to me. He really is more than enough. Everything outside of Christ is garbage, trash, boo-boo. He said in another verse, dumb. Like, that stuff can't satisfy me. That stuff can't meet every need that I have. There's some stuff that I go through that just can't, they can't fill me like Christ can. He is really more than enough. And so I don't need anything else to be temporary in my life. It's Christ all or nothing. Yes. Everything else is garbage. Yes. But when we're not satisfied with him, we still need other stuff to supplement. Letting us know that Christ really isn't enough. I still need to get my drink on because Christ really can't satisfy that need in me. I still need to watch that stuff at the dark because Christ really can't satisfy the need in me. I really can't do business the correct way because Christ really hasn't satisfied the need. So we go to other things. It's Christ all or nothing. That other stuff is garbage. You can get the accolades. You can get the achievement. Your business can be booming. Your marriage can be on fire. You can have it all. You can have straight A's in school. You can do it all, but it's garbage compared to what Christ has done on the cross for us. And I would gladly give it up. Second thing, and this is very important right here. If anything that sums up this chapter 3 is this, make intimacy with Christ your number one priority. make intimacy with Christ your number one priority. Paul realized this. He knew facts about God. His relationship with God was on a surface level. You know how we do. We pray over our food. Thank God for waking us up today. Surface. Paul was like, I want to know Christ. I want to experience Christ. See, you know what? It's one thing to know some stuff about God, but it's another thing when you experience some stuff about God. And Paul realized that, man, you know what? I've been reading about God. I've been obeying the law. I thought I was pleasing to God. And he found out I really didn't know God like I need to know God. That's why I'm going all in for Christ. I want to know God. We read this word. He's giving us a word. And I be meeting people all the time who are believers. And I was like, man, you be in the word. Man, you know, I just don't read like that, bro. I'm like, well, they got audio. You can do audio. Well, yeah, man, but I be getting distracted. I'm like, hold on. You mean to tell me that you are a believer in Christ? He saved your life. You was broke, busted, and disgusted when he found you. And now you tell me you ain't got time for him? You ain't got time to get into the word? We're so busy, we don't even have to spend time with him anymore. And then it's some of our fault as preachers and ministers, because we'll tell you stuff like this. Hey, just start with 5 minutes. Just give God 5 minutes. 5 minutes? What is the relationship worth to you? What is it worth to you? When you begin to get intimate with God, you don't get on the surface level, you go deep with God. You begin to pour out your heart before God, like David said. David, you know, if you read the Psalms, David was real in his prayer life. David would say some stuff like, God, take his father from him. Let his kids be bastards. Let God just ruin their whole thing. Fight against those who fight against me. Oppose those who oppose me. David would go in. And at the end of his prayer, he's like, but God, yet I trust you, God. I know that you're going to save me and deliver me, God. I just thank you. But Paul was real. He was real. He was authentic in his prayer life. It wasn't no surface, because he realized, no, I need God. There's some stuff money can't buy everything. I need God to fix this. I need God to intervene. And so when you begin to get intimate with God, you begin to produce power. He said, I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. We are living a Christian life, and it's powerless. Our prayer life is powerless. When we talk to people about Christ, powerless. Because we don't even know God. We only on the surface level with him. And I'm going to challenge you. These next 30 days, spend as much time. Listen, talk to God as early as you want. Talk to God as late as you want. But I want you to spend time. Quit being busy. The Bible says, be still. Be still. You doing all this kind of stuff talking to God. You better be still. Because there's some stuff that you get when you steal. I can trace back because of my relationship, my intimacy with God. I can trace back, and because I was intimate, because I knew him, there were some things that he showed me. I remember when my son was almost born, and I remember he gave me the name. He said, listen, name your son Judah, because he's going to be a praiser for me. I couldn't have got that stuff on some surface level. I went deep. God, I'm about to have a baby boy. I need to know, what should his name be? I need to know, God, what would you want to do with his life? I went deep with God. And then he said, listen, there's going to be a trial with your wife's womb. I didn't know what that meant. And I kept telling my wife, babe, everything is going fine with the pregnancy, but I don't know what's about to happen. All I know, God says it's going to be a trial with our womb, but we're just going to stay prayed up. And you know what happened? It happened, like, my wife was, everything was fine, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, your blood pressure is high. You got to go to emergency surgery. And we're sitting in the doctor, and they tell us she got preeclampsia. And my wife was discouraged, and my wife got frustrated. But I had already been praying to God, and I knew what was happening. I knew. And our son was born 2 months early. He didn't give me that just for me. He gave it to me so I can encourage my wife. But I wouldn't have got that on no surface level. If I didn't go deep with God, if I didn't spend time in his face, I wouldn't have got that on no surface level. I remember a time, man, he told me, I was talking to this girl. Y'all know how it is. I was talking to this girl, and this girl, I really thought she was going to be the one. But praise God, I got the one right there. And Christ had been dealing with my heart about letting this girl go. And I said, but God, she's a Christian. She loves God. Like, why did I let her go? And I couldn't understand it. But again, I'm praying, I'm seeking God. And I said, God, I just need you to confirm it. So I remember calling my mom, and I said, Mom, you know, hey, how you doing? And all of a sudden, my mom out the blue, she didn't know why I was calling her. But she said, son, don't settle. She was like, son, I used to settle. She was like, you know, but I just feel like you just don't need to settle. Whatever God telling you to do, you need to listen. And she's like, I don't know why I need to tell you that, but what's up, boo? How you doing? I was like, mom, what? I said, let me call you back. And I called her, and I called her back, but I called the girl and I said, hey, you know what? This ain't really working. And I think we need to just be friends. You know how you try to let them down gently. It's not you, it's me. And she was crying. She's like, I thought everything was good. I'm like, I did too, praise God. But for some reason, he's telling me to let you go. Yes. A year later, so I met my wife. No, 2 years later, met my wife. I said, God, this is it. I said, God, this is it. I said, if this ain't it, I don't know who else is it. This is it. And we were about to get married in 2011. And I got a call. And this girl had got into a car accident and died. But y'all, if I wouldn't have been in prayer with God, yes, I would have married this girl and wouldn't have had to deal with and been a widow. Yes. Wow. If I wouldn't have listened. Jesus. Before we came here to Houston, I said, God, you know, I got some friends that's telling me to come over here, be an educator, to make a little bit more money. And I said, God, but you know, I don't want to chase money. Should I go to Houston? He said, son, go, because there's purpose there. I didn't know when I got here I'll be preaching. I didn't know when I got here, I'll be meeting, I met Eric Thomas and I met you. Like, come on, man, it's some stuff when you in the face of God and you seeking God. It's some stuff you get that you can't get just knowing some facts about him. It's when you experience him that he begin to show some stuff about your life. He begin to show some stuff about the people who are in your life. He begin to say, no, don't be friends with her. Watch him, don't go with her. I'm telling you, that's not it. When you in his face, intimacy with God has to be your number one priority. And you know, when we started having kids, things started changing a little bit. And I was like, God, I can't pray to you like I will because I'm tired. But I would rock my kids to sleep and I'd just be praying. God, I just thank you, God, because you're so awesome, man. I thank you for my son right here. I would begin to just talk to him. Because why? Man, he changed my life. I owe him more than five. I owe him my life. And I'm willing to go deep with him. And I'm willing to lose friends. I'm willing to lose jobs. I'm willing to lose whatever he wants me to lose because of what he did on the cross for me. And if you don't have that desire, and what I start doing is once I get distracted, once I lose that desire to get in this word, to know what he's saying, to know who he is, to apply it to my life, once I lose that desire, I say, God, God, give me a desire. Give me a desire for prayer. Give me a desire for your word. Because the moment that you stop being intimate with Christ, let's face it, when you marry, the moment you stop being intimate, you're going to be in trouble. If you marry, you're going to be in trouble. Stop being intimate. Trouble. But when you get in that, when you start being intimate, you start knowing some stuff. You start knowing what God like, what he don't like. You start knowing what he wants to do. You start understanding his heart. Listen, because I was in the word in his face, he told me that I was going to preach. And I was like, God, preach. I don't want to. But he told me several times, you're going to preach. So I asked God, if I lose that desire, man, I shut everything down. I shut everything, TV and everything. And I just get alone and I get with God because why? I don't want to ever lose that hunger and desire for Christ. Make intimacy your number one priority. Listen, you can have everything and everything can be going good, but if you replace that stuff with your relationship with Christ, trouble. Yes. Trouble. When I go on jobs, I'm praying. I don't just, listen, go deep with God. Pour out your heart before him. I'm sorry, let's move on. All right, so next one. You got to be willing to suffer with Christ. Paul said, I want to suffer. And I was like, Paul, you crazy? Because I don't want to suffer. I just don't raise my hand like, God, me, sign me up. No, because I know suffering hurts. But if you're going to go all in for Christ, you got to be willing to suffer. Paul said, listen, I want to share in your suffering. Here's the thing about suffering. You get to know Christ when you're going through something. I remember after y'all know my story, playing football, rushing my kidney. And so a couple months after that, I'm in the summer of 2006, and I'm about to, you know, finish that semester, and I'm struggling. My roommate went home. He said, man, you got the rest of the bills for the summer. I said, yeah, no problem. I'm going to go ahead and get a job. And I could not find a job. It took me a month and a half to get a job. And I was like, God, what's going on? I'm about to get evicted. The lady said, man, we love you, but if you can't pay this rent, we're going to have to boot you out. I said, God, why? I said, God, I'm up here. I'm every day. I don't know how I'm putting gas in my car. I'm just getting up by faith, driving to go look for a job. Will you hire me? I'm going everywhere and nobody will hire me. I'm like, God, what's going on? And I found myself going to churches. I found myself asking for money. That was the most humbling thing I ever had to go through. And I'm crying every day. And I said, you know what, God? Like Jesus told the disciples, he said, will you lead me too? And Peter was like, shh, no. Where should we go? We gave up everything for you. You have the words to eternal life. So I remember, went back to my room, and I took everything out of my closet. Just took everything out of my closet. And I was like, God, I'm going to just shut in with you. And man, I would cry. I would pour out. I would get in my word like every single day. And I got to know some stuff about God. And then one day, I was in church, and this guy who was my mentor, he used to play football for North Carolina A&T, and he said, yeah, I heard about what's going on with your kidney, man. How's everything going? I said, man, I'm glad you asked. I don't got no job. Can you hook a brother up? And he said, show up tomorrow. Show up tomorrow. Don't worry about signing no W-2. Just show up tomorrow. I showed up tomorrow dressed up. He said, hey, this is Brandon Sweeney. This is our new director for Mission Impossible. He's going to be working in our office. And everybody was looking like, all right then, hey, welcome to the team, Brandon. And I remember getting a check in a week, and I was able to take that check, and I was able to pay for my, but I'm saying, like, I knew God because I was going through some stuff, and I got to experience him, and now today, because he's provided for me, I know him as a provider. And when I tell my wife, when stuff ain't going right, I said, boo, don't worry about it, because he provided then, he can provide now. I know him as a provider. This ain't no theoretical stuff. I know him because I went through it. When you suffering, you're going to get to find out a whole lot about God. You're going to lean in hard if you're all in. If you're not all in, then you're going to lean on hard on some other stuff, right? But I know him as a provider. I know him as a deliverer. I know him as a deliverer. I was caught up in the pornography. I was caught up in all. I know him as a deliverer. When you know God, when you go through, you know him because of what he's done. Abraham would not have known that God was Jehovah Jireh if he never would have provided the ram in the bush. He knew that because he experienced it. And when we go around, we know facts about God. But I'm asking you to go through, and when you suffer, Jesus said, for the joy set before me, I endured the cross. I'm like, Jesus, why are you happy? He wasn't looking at how suffering was going to make him feel. He was looking at what suffering was going to produce. And just like when a woman has a baby for 9 months, you go through some stuff. And you push hard. And there's some moments where you want to give up. But when you produce that baby, all the suffering that you went through don't even matter anymore because of what you produce. Some suffering is going to produce some stuff in you. Yes. It's going to produce godly character in you. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that if you want to live a godly life, there's some things you're going to suffer. Don't think you're going to just be a Christian and not go through anything. You're not exempt. I used to think that, like, oh, I'm a Christian. I don't have to go through the stuff that they're going through. No. Because you are a Christian, you're going to suffer. And you have to be willing to embrace it because of what it's going to produce. Jesus wasn't looking at the suffering. He was looking beyond and saying, you know what? I cannot get to the crown if I don't bear this cross. You can't get the glory without going through stuff. That's why they say in football, no pain, no gain. Be willing to suffer. Don't fight it. I don't even pray no more to ask God to get me out of stuff when I'm going through. And James, he said, count on all joy. But as you read down in James, he said, ask for wisdom. When I go through my go-through, I ask for wisdom. God, how do I need to deal with this situation? Because I know you're with me in it. Like Pastor talked about with the three Hebrew boys, he said, I know God is able to deliver us, but if he don't, we're still not going to bow. And even though they was in the fire, guess who was in there with them? Jesus. So don't exempt suffering. Don't say, you know, I don't want that. No, take it because of what it's going to produce in your life. And last one, I'm going to close with this. So Paul said, I'm glad Paul said this. Paul said, I have not obtained this stuff yet. Thank God. I know I'm preaching like with some passion, but I ain't got it all together, y'all. Sometimes I still sin. Sometimes I don't talk to God. But he says this. One thing that I focus on, and I'm going to tell you this. Keep forgetting what you've lost so you can keep focusing on what you've gained. Keep forgetting what you lost so you can keep focusing on what you gained. Paul said there's one thing I focus on. And I'm going to close with this. Going to be my last point. Mark, Minister Holmes, can I use you real quick? Let me get another mail. Can I use you? Sean, thank you. You stand right here. Thank you. I want y'all to see this. I just want y'all to see this. Paul, you gonna stand back up or something right here? And you gonna face me? Thank you. So Paul said, one thing I focus on. That's the one thing that I focus on. He said, forgetting what lies behind and looking toward what lies ahead. Let me help you understand this. Write this down. You cannot focus on two things at one time. You cannot focus on two things at one time. Where your focus goes, your energy flows, right? Where your focus goes, your energy flows. So this is Christ. I'm all in for Christ. I'm satisfied, right? I'm satisfied. Christ is the apple of my eye. I want Christ. That's the stuff I gave up. That's my former life. That's all the stuff that God brought me out of. That's all the stuff I left behind. That's all behind me. He says, he didn't say, I forget. He said, forgetting. Forgetting. You're going to have to keep forgetting what you lost. Come on. What did the children of Israel do when they got delivered out of Egypt? They started complaining, just longing for the good old days. Well, when we was back in Egypt, I know the work was hard, but at least we knew what we was eating. They stopped. They forgot one time. They forgot everything that God done for them. You have to keep forgetting what you lost so you can keep focusing on what you gained. You can only focus on two things. You cannot focus on two things at one time. So I'm all in for Christ. That's my former life. I'm satisfied. I'm content. But all of a sudden, when the hello break out in your life, when you're going through some go-through, you start hearing stuff like, man, Christ, man, this ain't worth it. I don't know about this, man. I'm going through, like before I had it all when I was in the world. And now that I'm with Christ, it seems like things ain't going the way I want to. And here's what happened. You never turn immediately to go back. The enemy always sends people to validate what you've been thinking. So you've been thinking about, man, I don't know if this is worth it. And then you meet somebody, probably unsaved. They start telling you, yeah, see, that's why I don't go to church, man, because these folks, I just don't see why I work. And you listen, you're like, oh, yeah, me too. I was thinking the same thing. And then somebody else coming, you paying attention to that. And then somebody else comes, you paying attention to that. And it's all in your head. It's all the stuff you've been thinking because you're losing your desire. You're not really fully satisfied with him. So now you're starting to take your attention away from Christ and you're starting to move toward this way. And the next thing you know, you back here, a place where you didn't think you would ever be at. Back with the old boo, back in the same situation. Back, you've been blowing up, making money, but then some stuff happened in your life because you decided to go back. He wasn't enough for you. He didn't fully satisfy you. You was going through something. You're like, I've been praying for 2 years, God. You haven't changed the situation. I've been facing this the whole time, God. You haven't changed my situation. Then you start longing for the good old days. And you stop forgetting. You say, you know what? It was better off back here. I've been there. I was like, God, I wasn't going through none of this. I was able to do what I want to do. Now I'm here trying to consult you, and I'm longing for the good old days of what it was like. That's why we have to keep forgetting, because when that stuff come up in your head, you got to do what Paul said in the Bible. You got to take every thought captive. You got to take every thought captive and cast it down, because every thought that you think is not yours. Do you know that there are 30,000 of 70,000 thoughts that go through your head in a day? You think every one of those thoughts are yours? Oh, let me tell you. So you don't know Satan, who is called Diablo, the rock thrower, can throw thoughts in your head. Can have you thinking about some stuff that you like, what? I ain't never thought about leaving Christ. But today, I don't feel like reading the word. I don't feel like doing with church people no more. I don't feel like doing none of this. And you find yourself back in your former life. But the thing I love about God, come on, prodigal son, when he said, when he came to himself, he realized that God ain't go nowhere. Because he loves you with an everlasting love. And with God, that's why Paul and Jesus and John the Baptist came on the scene. And that's why they say repent. What does repent mean? What does repent mean? What does repent mean? Turn. All you got to do is turn and go back to your daddy. The one that's changed your life. He ain't went nowhere. His arms is wide open. This is all done with. I have to keep forgetting this. It's like being married. And you get married. And as soon as you hit that rocky spot in your marriage, you start thinking like, man, when I was single, and I had to go through all this. I had more money in my pocket when I was single. And then you start thinking this. And if you're not hanging around no married couples, if you're not hanging around no Christians, and you start hanging around some single people, them single people going to tell you what you're missing. They're going to tell you, remember we used to be at the club, and we used to go get it, and you know, remember we used to do all that? You start getting inside. You was like, ooh, girl, I know, because my boo tripping right now. Come on, girl, just come out with me and have a drink. Just come out with me. And next thing you know, you back here in your former life doing some stuff you never thought you would do because he wasn't enough. Yeah. My wife is enough. Yeah. I remember what I gave up to get her. And I'm not going back to my single life because I'm satisfied with my marriage. I am satisfied with Christ. Yeah. I cast everything in. He is worth more to me than that stuff. So again, you have to keep, thank y'all. Give them a hand, a round of applause. So you have to constantly, daily, keep forgetting what you gave up. Yes. That stuff don't mean anything, y'all. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do not allow the businesses of life to take replace your relationship with God, y'all. Stop always being on the move. Set some time where you can spend time with God. We can go deep with God. When God can begin to speak to you about your situation. Like, I'm not going back. I gave her 2 months to get here. I'm not going back. And if I do happen to look back, I'm looking back because I remember how far he brought me. I remember what he's done for me. He's been too good to me. Hasn't he been too good to you? So I'm not going back to that. I left that to go all in for Christ. And I will gladly make him my number one priority to be intimate with him. I will gladly be willing to suffer for him. As much as I don't want to, as much as my flesh don't want to, but I know suffering with Christ, I get to know my Savior. I get to know what he was like. Because we see this guy who was going about doing good. He was going about blessing people, and there was people trying to kill him. There was people hating on him. So yes, you can be a good person, and you can go about doing good, but don't think you ain't going to go through some stuff. That life can't satisfy you like Christ. Keep forgetting what you lost so you can keep focusing on what you gained. Here's a recap, if you want to take notes. See everything outside of Christ as garbage. Make intimacy with Christ your number one priority. Be willing to suffer for and with Christ. Keep forgetting what you lost so you can keep focusing on what you gained, what's in front of you. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much. I thank you for what you've done for us. God, I'm asking that you are new.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.